Thank you, Jim. Good afternoon, brethren. Welcome to the Sabbath service between trumpets and atonement. We're now approaching the Feast of Tabernacles, when we will be on view, not only as individuals, but also as a group to the world around us. As we prepare, we will be on view to our families, our friends, our grocery stores, our banks, in fact, the whole of our communities. But when we get to the feast, we will be on view as a congregation, as a church group, as a big family. I seem to remember that one feast, was it Poconos? The people got the impression that we slaughtered animals and drank the blood of animals. They were getting confused with Passover. So it's very important we try to set the right example. They're going to think we're crazy anyway, but we try to set the right example. Christ in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 verses 3 to 12 sets out a number of benefits of different aspects of obedience to God. You remember that phrase, blessed are the meek, and various other qualities. Actually, blessed means in the Greek happy and fortunate in life. And in Matthew 5:13, having said that, Christ goes on to demonstrate what we become when we have these characteristics he just talked about. If you turn in your Bibles to my key scripture, Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world, verse 14. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The first image he gives is salt, which before modern times, before there was refrigeration, about 1880s, I believe, when the refrigeration came in, salt was used to preserve food in the winter, meat being the main example. In times past, salt used to be dug out from the edges of the Dead Sea, and it was full of other minerals and was impure. And the problem was that the sodium chloride, which is salt, gradually became lost and evaporated, so otherwise it became useless. The Greek word for lost actually means becoming foolish, and it's the same word in Aramaic, apparently. If you don't have the godly characteristics, you become useless or foolish as a godly influence in the world. Salt was so valuable in the ancient world that the Roman soldiers were partially paid in salt. That's where the word salary comes from. We are here to preserve God's word in the world. Remember the importance God gave to the number of righteous people being in Sodom. You might like to reread this whole story in Genesis 18, verse 25 to 33, of Abraham's negotiating with God about how many righteous people it would take for God to refrain from destroying Sodom. He started with 50 and went down to 10. And pick it up in verse 32 of Genesis 18. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there? God answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. Our presence of as the elect prevents the world from being destroyed. That's what Christ said in Matthew 24, verse 22. Matthew 24, verse 22. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Salt can lose its saltiness. I explained the physical aspects, but there's a spiritual aspect as well. Sometimes in the past, God's people did not live out Jesus' wisdom, but instead lost their saltiness by clutching onto self-preservation and control. Faith in God to lead and guide and protect us is our most powerful weapon. Romans 14 verse 23 tells us, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Leading our individual lives and our congregational lives is a journey of faith. Certain temptations of faithfulness can cause us to stumble. When we shelter ourselves from family, social, legal, and doctrinal pressures and fail to be bold in the faith and become fearful. When we stay quiet, or even worse, when we assimilate to survive. Number three, when we keep to ourselves and isolate ourselves out of fear. Let's become bold in faith in spite of pressures to abandon God's way. Let's not that wisdom to know when to speak up boldly with courage and when to remain quiet. Let's not lose our cool under pressure or go silent or have a verbal outburst in anger and frustration. Let's not hide nor isolate ourselves out of fear of any kind. Let's be people of faith in God. Let's learn to exercise faith. That means to use faith in our everyday lives. And let's learn to exercise faith in our congregation as well. At the Feast of Tabernacles, we're in a new and strange place. Let's let our light shine. Let's keep our saltiness. The other image Christ gives in Matthew 5 is that of light. Light changes its environment. In John 8 verse 12, Jesus is the light of the world. He says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And it was prophesied back in Isaiah 42 verse 67. Jesus came to give light to all the world. Isaiah 42 verse 67. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light to the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to feel free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. And in Psalm 119 verse 105, the source of light. It is God's word that gives light. If God's word is in us, we will reflect the light. It says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light to my path. And in Matthew 5:14 it says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. A city was generally built on a hill for security and defense. If you ever go to Italy, you'll see the number of towns on hills. They seem to have built most towns on hills. And Jerusalem itself is on a hill. And at night it stands out to approaching travellers with all the candles. They would have seen all the candles and oil lamps glittering. It reminds me of my experience approaching the city of London from the north at night down the motorway. The whole sky and clouds reflected the lights of the city, even from 50 miles away. 8 million people with millions of lights shining, reflecting on the clouds. And you could see it 50 miles away. It was quite a remarkable sight. Note that light is silent. It reveals but does not compel. Your witness to others as you keep God's law and principles is generally a silent witness to those around who see you. There is a saying, your actions speak so loudly I can't hear your words. This is precisely what Moses said to Israel before they entered the promised land. In Deuteronomy 4, verse 5 to 8. Deuteronomy 4, verse 5 to 8. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it, or as the Lord our God is to us, for whatsoever reason we may call upon him? And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in this, in all this law which I set before you this day? Israel was to be the example and the witness to the world through the results of their obedience to God's law. We know that Israel generally failed to live up to that, but when they briefly succeeded under the latter part of King David's reign and King Solomon's reign, the results were spectacular. Remember the Queen of Sheba's words to King Solomon, I heard of your greatness, but your wealth and wisdom surpass all that I have heard. That's 1 Kings 10, verse 9. This is only a shadow of what is yet to come. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 9. Paul sometimes felt that he stood out as a spectacle in the difficulties he faced. We do face difficulties as Christians. 1 Corinthians 4, 9. For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like those condemned to die in the arena. We've been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as human beings. We know what Paul went through to preach the gospel and do God's work. Sometimes we're under pressure and in difficulty when trying to keep God's laws, but people see how we bear our trials and difficulties because we have faith and trust in God and his promises. As it says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 to 9, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Remember, we live in an evil world. We live God's way in an evil world, so we can be a light to the world. That world includes our families, our neighbors, our friends and acquaintances. Philippians 2, verse 12 to 15. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purposes. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. And remember the message in Matthew 5 verse 16, our light is not for our pride and glory, but ultimately to give God glory, because he's the one who gave us his laws, forgiveness of our sins and salvation. It says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Brethren, when you see a salt shaker, remember this symbol from God, word, and keep it in your mind and heart. The power of light can be demonstrated physically, and it is real. Here's a small torch. Let me shine. On the wall. Spot on the wall. Now, if the others could shine their lights on the wall as well. Notice the impact of several small lights in unity. Now let's turn them off one at a time. Starting, yeah. Okay, right. We can turn the lights back on, please. The impact diminishes. You can turn the lights back on, Margaret. Finally, brethren, our impact as a congregation depends on all of us letting our light shine to the glory of God. Meditate on the symbols of salt and light and remember them as you make choices in your life, and especially at the Feast of Tabernacles, to give glory to our great God. I look forward to seeing you on Atonement this Wednesday at the Quality Inn. Thank you.